The Bat Cafe, a Batman fanfiction written by Beth Wrights and read by Lemon Avocado. This fanfiction is rated for teen and up audiences, and no archive warnings apply. Summary. For her film final, Barbara decides to film a night at her best friend Dick's family-run restaurant. She regrets this choice almost immediately, but hey, the deadline is next week. The screaming only dies down when Tim walks in. "What," he flounders, "is going on here? We have customers out there." Water drips from Bruce's face. Damien's posture is tense and the camera shakes slightly. Bruce says a single syllable. In it, you can hear years of regret. "Why?" In which the Bat family runs an all-day breakfast cafe called the Bat Cafe. There will be fire. There will be blood. There will be tears. There will be Tim Drake dumping a pitcher of cola on the head of a frat boy? Notes. Ages for reference. Damien is 14, barely legal to work in New Jersey. Bart is 16, Tim and Connor 18, Jason is 21, Wally and Dick and Barbara are 24-ish. Yes, it is a play off the Batcave. Yes, you have Violet Lopez to thank for that. A Night Inside a Gotham Novelty, The Bat Cafe. A documentary by Barbara Gordon, Gotham University Film 331, Introduction to Documentary Production, Final Project. "Do you really think this is a good idea?" a man says as soon as the video opens. The name printed at the bottom of the screen reads, Dick, host. He shuffles his weight from foot to foot. Behind him you can see a wall of cabinets, a few stovetops, and other kitchen appliances. "Why not?" the voice behind the camera says. "It can get pretty crazy here," Dick says. He looks behind the camera and winces. "Damie, what are you doing?" The camera whirls around to show a boy standing with his back to the other two. The name at the bottom of the screen reads, Damien, dishwasher, and the younger teenager has to stand on his tiptoes to reach the faucet above the sink. The other hand is holding a small hose-like tube. It's aimed somewhere off-camera. "Drake is supposed to arrive soon, and he ate my hummus last night," Damien says. He glances over his shoulder in time to see Dick take a step towards him. Damien flinches and points the nozzle toward Dick and Barbara. "Don't try and stop me. I will not hesitate." Dick raises his hands in surrender and backs away, but Barbara lets out a noise. "Damien, please don't. I have a camera." Damien's eyes narrow. "That is not my..." Someone else walks in suddenly, and they all jump. Damien turns, lets out a yell, and unleashes hell on Tim. Except, when Barbara yanks the camera to show the entryway to the kitchen, the name at the bottom does not say Tim. Bruce, manager and owner. Damien sprays Bruce for a few seconds before realization sets in. Then he screams. Dick also starts screaming, prompting Barbara to join in as well. Bruce, however, makes no sound. His shirt and tie are soaked, and when the water pressure dies down, he simply blinks water out of his eyes and stares at Damien. His face lacks expression. The screaming only dies down when Tim, finally, walks in. He's holding a bag over his shoulder and has a jacket over his arm. The nameplate reads, Tim, server. "What," he flounders, "is going on here? We have customers out there!" Water drips from Bruce's face. Damien's posture is tense and the camera shakes slightly. Bruce says a single syllable. In it, you can hear years of regret. "Why?" "So what's your favorite part of running the Bat Cafe?" Barbara asks. Bruce is on camera, using a white dish towel to dab at parts of his shirt. Another towel hangs off his neck. In the background, Damien is mopping the floor while glaring at the camera. "Clearly, it's the warm welcome I get from my family," Bruce says dryly. This is, in itself, ironic. Damien yells, "Father, I was trying to get Drake!" Bruce's face says, "Barbara, can you believe what I have to deal with?" But his mouth says, "Damien, how does that make it better? In any way? I'm trying to show you his incompetence." "Thanks," Tim calls off screen. "Appreciate it." "He should be fired," Damien continues as if Tim was still gone. Bruce turns to address his youngest. "For the last time, no one is getting fired." "Don't speak too soon, Brucey," a new voice says. "Kent, I'm off break. You have a half hour." "Oh, me?" the new person says. He has a streak of white hair. His name read, Toddy, head cook. Underneath this, the word Jason is crossed out. "I'm the new guy. The last guy got fired. Lucky bastard." Tim runs a hand through his almost too long hair. It's barely being held back by a thin red headband. Oh, Jason? Yeah, he got fired a few months ago. He was accused of spitting in people's food and he dumped a salad on a customer. There was almost a lawsuit. Bruce is alone now. He's reading from his phone, looking completely unamused. This was the Yelp review. The incompetence of the waitstaff is somehow an improvement from the cooking. This place ought to be burnt to the ground, and I would rather hit myself in the face with a crowbar than eat here again. Then the clown emoji. Bruce looks up. We had to let Jason go. Luckily, we found Toddie soon after. It's crazy, his voice is monotone. They look so similar. The only difference is the white streak of hair. Barbara says, do you expect anyone to believe? Bruce shakes his head. No, Barbara, I really don't. Tell me a little bit about the Bat Cafe, Barbara says. It's another interview shot with Tim. Tim rubs his eyes. We serve breakfast food. Like, a whole day. I don't know why. I think it was Dick's idea. Or Jason's. I'm not sure. It was before I, you know, it was before me, before I was adopted. Yeah, I know that, but can you give a little exposition to the rest of the audience? Tim frowns. What audience? Well, I opened it when Dick was, well, he had to be 12, because it was the year after I adopted him, Bruce says. His phone has been put away, and his eyes look softer. He was obsessed with breakfast food. Always wanted it for every meal, even when we went out to dinner. His voice fades out and he clears his throat. Of course, I didn't let him work here until he was 16, Bruce says, but he always used to work in the kitchen and bake the pastries with Alfred anyways. Barbara laughs. Was he any good? Bruce gives her a leveling look. Is he working in the kitchens now? So I hear the whole breakfast food thing was your idea, Barbara says. Dick is now in the same brick wall behind him, interview shot that the others were in. He leans against the wall. Oh, yeah, Dick grins. Did Bruce tell you about all the times I would ask servers at, like, 4-star places if they had chocolate pancakes? Oh, God, Barbara says. That sounds like something you would do. Oh, hey, Wally, welcome to the dock. A redhead sticks his face in front of the camera so close that the camera blurs. He sticks his tongue out and Barbara makes a face. Ew, get your face away from my camera! Dick pulls him back. Wally, delivery. What are you doing? Wally asks. He throws an arm over Dick's shoulders. My documentary, Barbara says. For my film class. Aren't you comp sci? Barbara sighs. Can I ask, why do you have a delivery person? Barbara says. Dick seems to be kicked out of the interview. Isn't it a breakfast cafe? If you could order pancakes to your door, wouldn't you? Wally asks. Barbara says, yeah, okay, that's fair. Well, Tim says, it's back to his clip. The bakery is open all day, 7 days a week. Alfred runs that. Jason, Dick, Con, Wally, and Bruce are here all day, too. Wally serves tables and Con helps wash dishes until Damien, Bart, and I come in after school. Then all the rest of us are here all day on the weekends. Jason and Con alternate breaks right before I get here, and as soon as they're done, we don't stop working for, 7 or 8 hours? How late are you open? Barbara asks. Tim makes a face. 11:30 at night during the week, 12:30 in the mornings on weekends. Alfred takes Damien home around 9:30, 10. So you're here every night until at least 11:30? Barbara asks. No, Tim corrects. We close at 11:30. Then we have to clean for at least a half hour. Damn, Barbara says. Tim tries to smile, but he lets out a yawn. Yeah, family business, you know? He checks his watch. 5 minutes until Connor's off break. Then we get ready for the pre-dinner rush. Barbara follows Tim through the side door and back into the kitchen. They walk down a small hallway, and Tim gestures into a room with an open door. There are a small couch, a table, and some chairs. Break room, Tim says, and Connor, and, oh, hey, Bart. Barbara sticks the camera in the room. Connor is sitting at the table, earbuds in, and he waves with one hand. The other keeps tapping at his phone. Connor, line cook. Then the camera pans to Bart, who's wearing the same black button-up and yellow tie as Tim. He's crashed on the couch, and his shoes are dangerously untied. Bart, server. Both Connor and Bart sit at the table now. Connor has taken his earbuds out. So, Barbara says, you two are some of the only ones that are not legally adopted by Bruce. There's a pause. Connor says, yes. Is there a question there? Aren't you supposed to be in the college-level film class? Barbara pauses, then laughs. It's intro to documentary production. I'm not a film major. Bart grins. I think this will be great, Barbara. What do you have already? Did you hear that Damien sprayed Bruce with the sink? Connor snorts and Bart winces. Of course he did, Connor says. Speaking of, a shout comes from somewhere else in the restaurant. It's Jason. Kent, man, we got a table at 12. Get out here, Jason yells. Connor winces. Well, Barbara, ready for pre-dinner? The kitchen is in full swing. Toddy, and Con are working quickly on one side. Jason seems to be tossing pancakes while Con scrambles some eggs. Tim is sticking tickets into the wall near cook station, and Bart is walking past the camera with a tray full of food. He grins as he walks by and sticks his tongue out. Damien is busy washing dishes and talking to Bruce, who is standing nearby. Jason calls out, I have the double order ready for delivery. No response. Jason turns around and looks around the small kitchen. Where the fuck is West? He turns to Tim. Can you check the host stand? Tim nods and leaves the kitchen. A second later, fire erupts on Con's side of the stovetop, and the alarm starts to blare. Wally holds several paper takeout containers in his hands, and he goes over the order one more time. What's the address, Bart? Bart tells him and also adds, that's about 10 minutes away. The next clip is of Barbara's wrist as she hangs out near the back of the restaurant, near the side door from earlier. The watch face says 7:45. Then the camera pans up to see Wally walking back. Not even 8 minutes, Barbara says. It was supposed to be 10 minutes just to get there, and 10 minutes back. That's 20 at least. How? Babs, don't ask questions you don't want the answer to. It's Bart by himself. He looks slightly more disheveled than when he first interviewed. The coroner says, Wally's cousin. He's gotten 2 speeding tickets in the last month, Bart says solemnly. The next part is a time-lapse. It's the largest seating portion of the cafe. Sparsely decorated, well-lit. It's cute for a cafe in Gotham. The guests have no idea that Jason is currently using a spatula to launch pieces of eggshell into Damien's hair, or that the redhead hanging out next to the host stand is not supposed to be there. There's a clock in the corner, and the hours tick away. When it's time for the dinner rush, the time-lapse shifts into covering the kitchen. Nothing else catches fire, but it's close. Damien is cleaning dishes as fast as he can, and Tim and Bart keep adding them on the pile. It seems like every second, Wally is leaving and returning with a delivery order. Bruce is zigzagging around, and a new gray-haired man has taken over one area of the kitchen and is churning out pastries like it's nothing. Alfred. Baker. There's a break in the time-lapse. Tim and Bart are looking over the counter where the completed orders sit. The audio comes back. Tim is chugging a red plastic cup of pop as he does so. Tim, bud, it's too late for that much caffeine, Bruce says. You're not going to be able to sleep. Tim looks at him over the rim of the cup. I have to write a 4-page paper when we close. I don't have time to sleep, Bruce. Bruce looks away and looks slightly ashamed, but Tim doesn't notice. I've only got half this order ready. Con, ET on the bacon? Tim asks. The time lapse returns. It's back to the house seating. Dick is near the host stand, and Wally occasionally shows up for a frame before he's gone. It's not long until the footage slows again. A large group of boys walks in, half a dozen at least. The time on the corner reads 8:41 p.m. when it seems to slow down. Words flash beneath it. Friday night, Friday night, Friday night. We are close to Gotham University's downtown campus, Tim says. It's a clip from an earlier interview. You can tell from the daylight flooding the alleyway. Which is always fun. We're one of the only places open this late, and you're bound to get a drunk or high group at least once a shift. Barbara makes a noise. That has to suck, Tim exhales. You have no idea. Tim is leaning against one of the prep counters. Somewhere he's gotten a Starbucks coffee, and he's practically inhaling it. Dick pushes back the kitchen door and comes to a stop for his kitchen debut of the night. Frat boys incoming, he announces. The whole staff seems to let out a groan. 6 now, 2 on the way. Definitely not sober, Dick says. He looks between Tim and Bart. I put them in a double table, number 14. Bart starts to say, I can take... Nope, Tim cuts off. He grabs a notepad from the counter next to him, knocks back more coffee, and heads toward Dick in the door. I got it. Take care of the rest of your tables. He walks out the door like a man walking to his death. Con and Jason share a long look before turning back to their respective stoves. Don't you have assigned tables? Barbara says. Yeah, but tables 12 through 16 are unassigned, in the middle of the restaurant, Dick says. I hate assigning assholes to Tim and Bart. Wally wanted to do it, but... He has a delivery, Bruce finished. It'll be fine, chum. His words don't match the expression on his face or the way that he lifts his eyes to the door as he looks through the small window to see into the rest of the restaurant. Barbara must put the camera up to the window, and she catches the tail end of Tim's first interaction with his table. His hands are gripping the edges of his notebook, pencil in hand. The audio isn't there, but Tim's tight-lipped smile tells all. "So what's the bet, Gordon?" Jason says. "Assholes or not?" "Assholes," Barbara says. "Great," Con says. Even Damien looks off-put. She puts the camera down when Tim starts walking back toward the door. He comes back in the kitchen wordlessly, his arms hanging his sides dejectedly. Bart gives him a look right before going out to deliver his dishes, but Tim doesn't respond to him. He grabs a drink tray off the stack and starts filling it with cups. "So," Barbara says when most of the pops are full, "how's your night going so far? How's the table?" Tim glances at her. Strands of his hair fall out of the headband and fall over his eyes. "Oh, it's great. They are so drunk. But thank God they told me that if I smiled more, they'd tip better." He grabs the tray and settles it on his hip and leaves the kitchen. Bart is talking quietly to Con and Jason when Barbara wheels over with the camera rolling. "Keep asking for his phone number," Bart says. He glances at Barbara and then back at the door behind her. "Hi. How's it going?" Barbara asks. "Looks like some of those frat boys have escalated from asshole to creep territory," Con says. Jason and he are standing shoulder to shoulder. The assembled group seems to have a common goal. "I thought frat boys were all supposed to be, like, no homo," Jason says. "They can't even live up to their own stereotype." "Well," Bart says, but quickly stops himself. "Oh, no," Con says. "What, do I need to go out there and let them know that he's barely 18? "Probably," Bart says. "But that's not what I was going to say. One of them, what?" Jason demands. "The no homo thing? One of them said they would make an exception because of his hair," Bart draws quickly. "And some of them keep calling him pretty. I hear it whenever I pass by." "Oh, come on," Jason says. They all get, if possible, angrier. "Really?" Barbara says. "Jesus Christ." "For the love of..." Connor starts. "What's going on?" Bruce says. They all jolt apart. Con and Jason say, "Nothing." "That's not suspicious," Bruce says. He turns his gaze on Bart. Bart's eyes bulge. It isn't until Jason elbows him that he squeaks out a, "Nothing!" When Bruce leaves, Barbara asks, "How often does this happen?" "I made t-shirts that say, 'Respect servers or die,' when Tim started here," Jason said. "I mean, Jason did. I, of course, am Toddy." This works to break only part of the growing tension. "Why not tell Bruce?" Barbara asks. "Tim will get mad," Jason says, "and he always says that we don't believe that he can handle it. If it gets too far, Kent and I take care of it. But this shit happens too often." "Too often," Con repeats. "Bruce and Dick do all they can, but..." "Yeah," Bart agrees. Then something dawns on him. "Oh shit, I need to get these orders out." Barbara is waiting by the door when Tim comes back into the kitchen for a second batch of trays for the large group. When he sees the camera, he smiles smallly and rubs his eyes. Through the swinging door, she can still hear them laugh and yell. "Good news is, almost everyone else has cleared out," Tim says. She says, "Yikes." He looks deeper into the kitchen. "I think Bruce is about to lose it." "Yeah," Barbara says, "because they're loud, obnoxious, and harassing his son." Tim opens his mouth. Shuts it. Opens it again. "Try and tell me I'm wrong," Barbara says, "about any part of that. Go on. I dare you." Tim rolls his eyes and walks past. "I would never pick an argument with you, Barbara." The camera follows him as he goes to the order counter, and Bruce is there to meet him. He leans down to have a quiet conversation with his third son. Tim pulls his hair behind his ear and nods along to whatever is said. Then by the end, Tim just shrugs and grabs another set of plates and walks away. Bruce is left there, standing by himself in the chaotic kitchen. Tim comes back this time with a genuine smile on his face. "Check, please." He holds the black booklet over his head. A small cheer goes around the kitchen. Even Damien looks pleased. "As soon as I process this, they'll leave." Con claps Tim on the back, and they share a smile as Tim walks to the computer register. Even Bruce and Alfred share a look. Some tension seems to leave Bruce's shoulders. As Tim leaves, Bart goes, "That could have gone worse." Barbara makes a noise of agreement and lifts the camera back to the kitchen window. What she sees makes her pause. "Oh, wait. Bruce!" "What?" he calls. "Is it Tim?" Jason asks. A few pans clatter to the stovetop, and there's movement behind the camera. Most of the frat boys are standing and gathering their coats. One of them, however, isn't leaving so easily. One of his hands is around Tim's wrist, and Tim seems to be trying to pull it away from the taller man. Tim's face is blank, the other man is leering. Wally and Dick seem to be making their way over to the table where a scene is brewing. Barbara pushes the door open. Someone pushes her chair out of the door, and Jason walks past her. Bruce and Con are close behind. "Ask you to leave," Tim is saying. He finally tears his arm away and yanks it to his chest. "You ate, you paid, it's time to go." The man laughs as if it was funny. Before any of the other wait staff can reach the scene, the man stumbles and places his hands around Tim's waist, and he leans down. Several people shout an alarm, but Tim is the first one to act. His elbow goes out, hitting the man in the jaw. Then, while the man is reeling back in surprise, Tim reaches around him to grab the pitcher of cola and pours it over the man's head. Tim steps away and looks at the dripping man in horror. The only funny thing about the situation is that it's the second person to be soaked in one night at the Bat Cafe. "Are you kidding me?" the man says. "This is ridiculous. These shoes cost more than your life." One of his friends takes a step towards Tim menacingly, but he stops in stride when Dick, Jason, Wally, and Bruce step forward as well. "Leave," Bruce says. "It's not a suggestion." The man's voice wobbles. Bruce is scary when he's mad. He blinks. "I want to speak to the manager." "Okay, Karen, you asked for it," Bart says from behind the camera. Barbara snorts. "I am the manager," Bruce says. The camera is panning back from the back of Bruce's head to the confused, bewildered look on the frat boys' faces. The boys say nothing. Bruce tilts his head as if expecting this. "Allow me to escort you outside." Tim is, once again, chugging coffee next to the prep counter. Bart is hanging nearby, and the cooks are on either side of Tim, who is gleefully ignoring their existence for the safety of his drink. When the door opens, the camera follows the noise, and Bruce walks in. His hands are in his pockets. "All okay?" Nods and affirmations all around. "Good," Bruce says. "Alfred is going to take Damien and Tim home early." "But Father! Oh, come on, Bruce!" "Because I've informed Dick to not seat anyone else. We're all closing early." Jason nods stiffly, and even Damien looks okay with the ruling. Tim sighs and pulls his apron off his waist. The knot comes undone as he tugs, and he leaves it pooled in a pile of fabric on the counter. Barbara is filming with part of the view obstructed by a doorframe. Tim's hair is pulled back into a skewed bun with a dark scrunchie, and Bruce has his arms crossed in front of them as he talks. The audio is purposefully cut from this clip. Tim bites his lip and nods. Then he nods again while saying something. Bruce nods in response and pats his son on the shoulder. He says one more thing, but Tim interrupts him by pushing Bruce's arms apart and pushing himself into a hug. Barbara pulls the camera away just in time to show Bruce pulling his arms around his son. The final time lapse. The final customers finish their meals and leave in record time. As soon as the last family is gone, Dick locks the door behind them and grabs the camera on his way back to the kitchen. He and Wally give a short commentary. "That was worse than it usually gets," Dick says. "But, you know, it's all good now. And I might be home before midnight." "What if we went to the movies, though?" Wally says. "A new Disney movie you wanted to see is out. I'll buy the popcorn." Dick gives him a blinding smile. "I love you." For the final clip of the video, Barbara has pulled Bruce to the side. "So," Barbara says, "a little bit of a crazy day." Bruce scoffs and runs a hand through his short hair. "Yeah, hopefully you got enough for your class." "Thank you for letting me do this," Barbara says. "I think..." There's a loud crash from behind the camera. Both Bruce and Barbara flinch. "It never ends, does it?" Barbara asks. "No," Bruce says, but he's smiling.